Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
6:13 on this Friday morning. It's going to be rainy today. I got the forecast here somewhere, and it's going to be rainy today into tomorrow. Maybe some street flooding. But then by Sunday, hopefully, it should all be clear. 100% chance for showers today, some downpours, flooding possible. 60% chance tomorrow, then some clearing. Sunday, partly cloudy, coastal showers, humid, less breezy. Highs of only 83, so with the lower humidity, should feel pretty nice as we make our way into the dome. And then tomorrow, next week, highs only in the mid-80s. So there you go. Compared to 90, we'll take it. In case you were playing Name That College Fight Song, those of you that guessed Holy Cross, Notre Dame, and some other colleges and high schools, you were wrong. Nobody guessed right. It was the University of Minnesota, but I got one coming up for you again in a little bit. We're going to talk about the presidential campaign with our guest, Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. So, thoughts on the presidential race so far, and then we'll drill down on some specifics.
Well, right now, I think the best way to sum it up is it's tied. You know, some of the national polling, of course, has a Harris up by maybe 2 or 3 points, but it's just that's not what matters. What matters is happening in the battleground states, and those are all the polls are just showing tie.
So for those that are wishing on either side, for a Harris blowout, for a Trump blowout, what would have to happen or how much would have to happen given the Electoral College and the number of votes involved for even though the popular vote would be close, electorally it would be a blowout? Either side.
Yeah, I mean, to be a blowout for either side, I just don't see how that could happen without some major event that I can't even really think about right now that would be so easily connected to one partisanship or another that everybody kind of moves one way. And those events are just, I can't even imagine what it would be. So blowout, I don't think a blowout's even possible.
All right, let's talk about the debate and coming up on the 10th on Tuesday. Well, what was the big controversy about the rules and what have they decided on?
Right. Yeah. So there's been some back and forth about the rules. I mean, the last thing that they seemingly were arguing about was whether or not they were going to have the mics open or they were just going to only allow the mics to be on essentially when it was your turn to talk. The original agreement between Biden and the Trump campaign was that they would be off unless you were talking. And that's what's going to end up being. The Harris campaign had wanted to change that to be open mics the entire time. I think their thought was that we want to hear what Trump has to say no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't seem to be is going to be the case.
So this is like spy versus spy, you know, and do you know what I'm talking about, Professor?
Yes, yes, I do. Yes.
That's a Mad Magazine reference. It was a trick. You shouldn't have known what I was talking about, but
I'm old enough to remember that. I was a kid in the 80s.
It's very funny. It really was. It was a very funny magazine. One thing I remember was they did a parody on Love Story back in the day, and he says, "Do you want me to put on your favorite show 30 minutes?" And she said, "Don't you mean 60 minutes?" And he says, "Trust me." And that was an example of the humor of Mad Magazine, right? So, with that being said, let's talk about the debate strategy here, where Harris didn't really want the microphones open for her. The theory out there is that she wanted them open so that Trump could be Trump, that he wouldn't be able to control himself. But then you would figure the Trump people were trying to protect him maybe from himself. So that's why they wanted him closed. Thoughts on all of that?
Right. I mean, that seems to be the case, that it was the Trump campaign saying, no, we need to have a close, mainly, and also because he did well in the previous debate in that situation. And so why not stick with what works? The challenge here is that a lot of people have pointed, you know, made an argument that that Kamala Harris is going to easily win this. And I think that's a huge mistake. Donald Trump is, I think, one of the hardest people you could possibly debate because he can say anything at any time.
That's interesting. Tell me about that, because, you know, and one of his aides at the Democratic National Convention, I'm trying to keep this straight because they don't wear numbers, and they really should. They should wear numbers and jerseys, either blue or red jerseys, so you know who's for who. Although in this case, it would be kind of confusing because it was a Republican, Trump staffer that spoke at the Democratic Convention, and she said, if I remember correctly, that he, Trump, told her that it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. If you say it often enough, people will believe it. And when it comes to, I don't know if he said that or not, that's what she said. So when it comes to the debate, what you're saying is Trump can say stuff, and whether, and both of them really, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter so long as they get it on the record.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, the challenge.
And it does
for,
cut both ways, Professor.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anyone can say anything. You know, the challenge, you know, we've seen Trump now in many debates, and he's a really difficult because not only does he can say anything, okay, and but then he says a lot of things. So it'll be this, 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 and you jump all over the place. And for you as the opposition here, to try and keep track of that, and are you supposed to rebut every single one of these things? And that can be a big problem because that'll eat up all your time just rebutting what was said. And that would be wrong. That would be a bad debate strategy.
I think he handled the debate against Biden just perfectly. Of course, it was not, you know, it was kind of like, you know, one Alabama playing the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky last week. It wasn't a real tight contest, but I thought former President Trump handled that debate perfectly, where he was not mean, but the part where he says, I don't know what he said, and I don't think he knows what he said. The way he said it was perfect and the tone was perfect. We could take a break. We come back. We'll talk about what strategy he should employ when it comes to debating Kamala Harris, because it's not going to be the same. I don't know that she's going to get muddled and lost in her thoughts like current President Biden did. We're talking to Aaron Dusso, associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, about the debate. And of course, that happens Tuesday night on the 10th. And the big question is, although all of us sit there and watch it, like last night's Baltimore-Kansas City game, unless you got money on it, and I don't think you can bet on a debate in this country. You can or you can't? Huh? Offshore accounts, you can bet on the debates and not the presidential and the presidential elections. But unless you have you're in one of those swing states, it's kind of like last night's game. If you're not in Baltimore or Kansas City, does it really matter to you? I guess tangentially, I can never say that word if you're in the division. The point I'm making is it's going to come down to those swing states and those few voters, and do they target the debate toward them or not? 620 traffic now, WWL. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Aaron Dusso, associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, about the presidential debate. There, we're going to spend a lot of time on football this weekend because it's good to have it back. So I was saying earlier, Professor, about the Trump victory over Biden in the debate, but it wasn't, you know, again, it was like Alabama playing the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky, 63-0, and they didn't have a lot of lot of competition, and I don't think former President Trump did either, and current President Biden, but for whatever reason. But when it comes to Kamala Harris, it's going to be a different thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would expect this to be much more of a normal, in quotation marks, a debate that largely ultimately doesn't have much of an impact. Most debates historically have not changed the outcome. What happens is people see what they want to see. So if I'm a Republican, I'll see Trump do well. If I'm a Democrat, I'll see Kamala Harris do well, and we'll move on with life. So that would be my expectation.
But when it comes to the debate, considering, first of all, how many voters are we talking about in these seven swing states total? Do you know?
The exact number? I don't have the exact number.
I did roughly. 30,000 people?
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. At least that.
Okay. So do they target the debate toward them, or is it about getting their base out to vote in other states? I'm just curious about the debate strategy, because as you said, if you're a Democrat, you're going to think Kamala Harris won no matter what. If you're a Republican, you're going to think Trump won no matter what. But what about the undecideds?
Because undecideds are going to also be less likely to watch than partisans, what you probably need to be doing in your strategy is thinking about enthusiasm, getting my people out to vote, turnout. So get enthusiasm. You know, if you can get a couple of good zingers and strike some maybe a little bit of fear in the other candidates, partisans, that would be great. But really, this has to be about showing competence, showing that you have knowledge on various topics, but really about rallying the troops. Once again, you want people after the debate, your partisans, to be able to point to various things where you said that this is it, this is what's all about, this is what the campaign's all about, and that's about my issues and how we're all going to go out there and win.
We're going to talk about limits on shark fishing later on this morning. So when it comes to that, is there bait that either one is especially susceptible to?
I think that a danger for Trump is if he spends too much time talking about himself and his own personal grievances. You want to stay off of that. It's not about Donald Trump's grievances. It's about the American people's grievances. And I think the big danger for Harris is if she gets bogged down in details. If she, you know, falls for what Democrats often do fall for, which is, if I just give one more policy detail, if I just give one more fact, I'll win. That's a mistake.
That's interesting. So the details and the facts and how to do something, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you just paint a big picture on either side of, forget how you're going to do it, just paint a nice picture, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a great book about a decade ago called Campaigning for the Hearts and Minds, which demonstrated exactly that. It's not about policy detail. It's about the feeling that people have when they go vote.
So Kamala Harris, like her or hate her, and people say she's not good without a teleprompter, et cetera. I don't know about that, because I know she did, I would imagine, at some point litigate cases. She was in court prosecuting cases, and there's no teleprompter there. I've never seen her in court. I don't know. I do know that former President Trump can tend to do some kind of free mind association kind of thing when he's on stage and go from bacon to this to that to the other thing. That's a trap that he's got to avoid as well. He's got to just have like three bullet points and just keep hammering them: immigration, economy, and what, national debt?
Yeah, well, that would be the most successful for him if he could stay on those topics and hammer, you know, it's particularly the border. You know, this is, you know, stock and trade for Republicans is that border, hammer on security, hammer on crime, and you'll be okay if you're Trump.
Does the assassination attempt enter into this at all still or not?
It's weird to say that an assassination attempt doesn't probably matter that much. It's largely been forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Except for the huge turnabout, not the assassination attempt, but the debate mattered in that it forced Biden out, and now you got a different race.
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, for 20 years, I've been saying debates don't matter, except when it's the only thing that matters, which was what the last debate was.
Thank you, Professor. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science, Indiana University. We come back, we're going to talk football, LSU football specifically. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, Louisiana Network News Director. I'll have another college football song for you to identify as well. Right now it's time for WWL First News. The previous college fight song that we played was Tulane. Somebody keeps guessing Notre Dame. I think I'm going to guess Notre Dame for every college football fight song that we play. This one was never even in the running for Name That Song, because everybody knows that it's LSU's fight song. Jeff Palermo joins us now. Talk about those Tigers, WWL.com columnist. Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Staying dry?
Yeah, well, for the most part. You know, just thinking about it, it's a gray, rainy Friday, which is better than a bright, sunny Monday. You got to keep that in mind. And they turned the lights off on a Crescent City Connection. They could have kept those on for a long, probably all day today, I would think, as dark as it's going to be in gray. But let's talk about, first of all, the field at Tiger Stadium. All that's covered, so we don't have to worry about any of that, right?
Yeah, and I think this rain is supposed to move out, at least out of the Baton Rouge area for tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe the sun comes out a little bit. I would imagine the field conditions will be nearly perfect by the time they kick it off tomorrow.
Brian Kelly's saying there's no way you can say, and life is not always fair, but there's no way you can say it's fair what happened to John Emery, and he's right. I mean, that's just for people that don't know, I guess Jeff had missed it. You can tell him.
Well, just to kind of give you, kind of go all the way back to his time at Destrehan, this kid was considered one of the top running backs in the country coming out of high school his senior season. And he was originally committed to Georgia. It was a big recruiting battle to get him to LSU. He ends up signing at LSU. He's on the 2019 National Championship team. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the star of that team as far as a running back, so he didn't play that season. Then he had the COVID year of 2020. He ends up being academically ineligible for a season. Had a decent year in 2022 when he came back. Last year, really didn't get into the groove of things and then ended up suffering a season-ending ACL injury in November. Comes back and is the leading rusher for LSU last Sunday in the loss to USC. And then during practice this week in a non-contact drill, he plants and he blows out the another ACL injury. And he had surgery yesterday. Coach Brian Kelly describing it as just a low point. Kid completely devastated. Team feeling really bad for him. Tough break. You know, we talked about the academic suspension being missing an entire year. This is someone that could have just literally said, you know what, forget it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try the NFL. Maybe I'll try the Canadian Football League. I'll try to do something. But he stuck with it. Ended up getting his degree and was in position to really have a nice season. And who knows, maybe have that springboard towards a career in the NFL, but now another serious knee injury. It's likely that his football career is over.
Yeah, because I think at this point, you got to look at if you're not going to play at the next level, and with all those injuries, could he? And you also got to look at your overall health for the rest of your life, right?
Right, yeah. No doubt about it. Just a tough break, and it leaves LSU really short at the running back position. Now they only have three scholarship running backs on their roster. Of course, the Trey Holly legal situation continues to drag on. He does have a court hearing later this month, I want to say in a couple of weeks, and maybe even less than a couple of weeks, on the gun charges he still faces from that shooting in his hometown in Union Parish back in February. But right now the three scholarship running backs, now that Emery is down, is Josh Williams, it's Caleb Jackson, and Caden Durham, a freshman. And so expect to see him play against Nichols. And then last night, Coach Brian Kelly announced that they moved Juwan Johnson to running back. Johnson was Mr. Football in the state of Louisiana for high school football in 2023, a dynamic quarterback from Lafayette Christian. In fact, set the all-time career passing mark for quarterbacks in Louisiana high school football history and has the most total touchdowns in Louisiana high school football history. The kid is absolutely breathtaking when he has the football in his hands. He's someone that you got to watch. Now, he's been working out as a defensive back during preseason camp. I don't know how quickly they can get him up to speed as far as being a running back, but it's an insurance policy at the time, and who knows, maybe he'll get a carry or two against Nichols on Saturday.
Did they make him a defensive back because he was a great athlete and now that's where the need was?
Yeah, well, he was projected really during his time at Lafayette Christian as a cornerback. He was considered one of the top cornerbacks in the state, even though he didn't.
Both ways?
Yeah, he was playing mostly quarterback at Lafayette Christian. Mm-hmm. Every now and then they would throw him out on defense at a critical point in the game if they were, you know, playing a team of some great receivers, but quarterback was his position. Now you're saying, well, why isn't he a quarterback? Well, he's 5'11". When he throws the football, it's kind of a unique motion. He doesn't kind of come over the top on it. So there's a reason why he's not a quarterback. But Even Brian Kelly said in the spring when he was talking about Juwan Johnson that this kid is so talented, it's hard to figure out where to put him. And there's a variety of places they could put him. And so he was, again, they felt pretty good about the running back room. They got a plenty of wide receivers, so they don't need him there. And obviously defensive back has been a spot where LSU's trying to find the right combination. So he was working out there and getting reps as a safety, really as a star. He was a kind of the backup or a third string to Major Burns in that star position, which is a hybrid linebacker safety position. But now he's got a chance to potentially be a guy at running back. We'll see. Something to monitor, but really the main guys, Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson, those two guys, especially Caleb Jackson, they got to figure out a way to get him going. It was a disappointing start to the season for him based on what he did against USC. I think only 14 yards rushing against the Trojans.
And I don't think I'm thinking of anything that the LSU coaching staff has not thought of, but as you say that about Juwan Johnson, I'm thinking, okay, well, last year we had a quarterback that could run as well as he could pass.
Yeah.
Maybe this year you get a running back that can pass as well as he can run.
Well, if you ever wanted to throw a wildcat formation or something like that, that could certainly be something. But I think they like Garrett Nussmeier. I think they just need to develop. I'm not saying there's a quarterback controversy there. I don't know if this coaching staff is willing to be as experimental on that, say, as Sean Payton was with Taysom Hill, right?
Yeah.
Drew Brees off the field and have Taysom Hill as the quarterback.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying you put this guy running back, and then maybe he's got the option of passing. So
yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. That's a possibility as well, too.
All right, 6:52, 8 till 7. More we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louis News. The previous college fight song that we played was Tulane. Somebody keeps guessing Notre Dame. I think I'm going to guess Notre Dame for every college football fight song that we play. This one was never even in the running for Name That Song, because everybody knows that it's LSU's fight song. Jeff Palermo joins us now. Talk about those Tigers, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well. Tommy, staying dry?
Yeah, well, for the most part. You know, just thinking about it, it's a gray, rainy Friday, which is better than a bright, sunny Monday. You got to keep that in mind. And they turned the lights off on the Crescent City Connection. They could have kept those on for probably all day today, I would think, as dark as it's going to be in gray. But let's talk about, first of all, the field at Tiger Stadium. All that's covered, so we don't have to worry about any of that, right?
Yeah, and I think this rain is supposed to move out, at least out of the Baton Rouge area for tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe the sun comes out a little bit. I would imagine the field conditions will be nearly perfect by the time they kick it off tomorrow.
Brian Kelly's saying there's no way you can say, and life is not always fair, but there's no way you can say it's fair what happened to John Emery, and he's right. I mean, that's just for people that don't know, I guess, Jeff, and missed it, you can tell them.
Well, just to kind of give you, kind of go all the way back to his time at Destrehan, this kid was considered one of the top running backs in the country coming out of high school his senior season. And he was originally committed to Georgia. It was a big recruiting battle to get him to LSU. He ends up signing at LSU. He's on the 2019 National Championship team. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the star of that team as far as a running back, so he didn't play that season. Then you had the COVID year of 2020. He ends up being academically ineligible for a season. Had a decent year in 2022 when he came back. Last year, really didn't get into the groove of things, and then ended up suffering a season-ending ACL injury in November. Comes back and is the leading rusher for LSU last Sunday in the loss to USC. And then during practice this week in a non-contact drill, he plants and he blows out another ACL injury. And he had surgery yesterday. Coach Brian Kelly describing it as just a low point. Kid completely devastated, team feeling really bad for him. Tough break. We talked about the academic suspension being missing an entire year. This is someone that could have just literally said, you know what, forget it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try the NFL. Maybe I'll try the Canadian Football League. I'll try to do something. But he stuck with it, ended up getting his degree, and was in position to really have a nice season. And who knows, maybe have that springboard towards a career in the NFL, but now another serious knee injury. It's likely that his football career is over.
Yeah, because I think at this point, you got to look at, if you're not going to play at the next level, And with all those injuries, could he? And you also got to look at your overall health for the rest of your life, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. Just a tough break, and it leaves LSU really short at the running back position. Now they only have three scholarship running backs on their roster. Of course, the Trey Holly legal situation continues to drag on. He does have a court hearing later this month. I want to say in a couple of weeks, and maybe even less than a couple of weeks, on the gun charges he still faces from that shooting in his hometown in Union Parish back in February. But right now, the three scholarship running backs, now that Emory is down, it's Josh Williams, it's Caleb Jackson, and Caden Durham, a freshman. And so expect to see him play against Nichols. And then last night, Coach Brian Kelly announced that they moved Juwan Johnson to running back. Johnson was Mr. Football in the state of Louisiana for high school football in 2023, a dynamic quarterback from Lafayette Christian. In fact, set the all-time career passing mark for quarterbacks in Louisiana high school football history and has the most total touchdowns in Louisiana high school football history. The kid is absolutely breathtaking when he has the football in his hands. He's someone that you got to watch. Now, he's been working out as a defensive back during preseason camp. I don't know how quickly they can get him up to speed as far as being a running back, but it's an insurance policy at the time, and who knows, maybe he'll get a carry or two against Nichols on Saturday.
Did they make him a defensive back because he was a great athlete and now that's where the need was?
Yeah, well, he was projected really during his time at Lafayette Christian as a cornerback. He was considered one of the top cornerbacks in the state, even
though
he didn't.
Both ways?
Yeah, he was playing mostly quarterback at Lafayette Christian. Mm-hmm. Every now and then they would throw him out on defense at a critical point in the game if they were, you know, playing a team of some great receivers. But quarterback was his position. Now you're saying, well, why isn't he a quarterback? Well, he's 5'11". When he throws the football, it's kind of a unique motion. He doesn't kind of come over the top on it. So there's a reason why he's not a quarterback. But even Brian Kelly said in the spring when he was talking about Juwan Johnson that this kid is so talented, it's hard to figure out where to put him. And there's a variety of places they could put him. And so he was, again, they felt pretty good about the running back room. They got a plenty of wide receivers, so they don't need him there. And obviously defensive back has been a spot where LSU's trying to find the right combination. So he was working out there and getting reps as a safety, really as a star. He was kind of the backup or a third string to Major Burns in that star position, which is a hybrid linebacker safety position. But now he's getting... He's got a chance to potentially be a guy at running back. We'll see. Something to monitor, but really the main guys, Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson, those two guys, especially Caleb Jackson, they got to figure out a way to get him going. It was a disappointing start to the season for him based on what he did against USC. I think only 14 yards rushing against the Trojans.
And I don't think I'm thinking of anything that the LSU coaching staff has not thought of, but as you say that about Juwan Johnson, I'm thinking – okay, well, last year we had a quarterback that could run as well as he could pass.
Yeah.
Maybe this year you get a running back that can pass as well as he can run.
Well, if you ever wanted to throw a wildcat formation or something like that could certainly be something. But I think they like Garrett Nussmeier. I think they just need to develop. I'm not saying there's a quarterback controversy there. I don't know if this coaching staff is willing to be as experimental on that, say, as Sean Payton was with Taysom Hill, right?
Yeah.
Drew Brees off the field and have Taysom Hill as the quarterback.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying you put this guy running back, and then maybe he's got the option of passing. So
yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. That's a possibility as well, too.
All right, 6:52, 8 till 7. More we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Story just posted at WWL.com about LSU adding Mr. Football 2023. Story by Jeff Palermo. You can read more about Juwan Johnson, 5'11", 200 pounds, not really tall enough to play quarterback, but as a running back, maybe it'll be a double threat or triple threat. How would be a triple threat? No, it'd be a double threat because he wouldn't kick. 6:52, 8 till 7, traffic now, WWL. We're playing Name the College Fight Song since LSU's playing Nicholls State this weekend. We may as well play theirs. Jeff Palermo, our guest, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. What do we know about the Colonels, Jeff?
Well, Nicholls has really had a very great they've had a great run of it with Tim Rebo as their head coach, who I think is entering his ninth season. They've won three conference championships during that time, including last season. They get a lot of kids from the River Parishes area, from South Louisiana. Colin Guggenheim, who is a who's their leading rusher, a kid from John Curtis High School. Last week they went up to Louisiana Tech. The weather elements were not the greatest. Rain was falling, and they forced five turnovers against Louisiana Tech. Now, they didn't produce a ton of offense. You know, this is not going to be an offense that's really going to test LSU, in particular defensive secondary. Nicholls only completed 10 passes last week. But this is going to be a Nicholls team that's going to be well-coached, and it's just hard to believe. I don't know. What it's Nicholls is an hour 20, hour 25 minutes away from the LSU campus, and this is the first time these two schools have ever played in football. So some history will certainly be made in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night.
51.5-point favorite is LSU. You think they cover?
Could be close to that. I wouldn't be surprised if not, just because you know, LSU is going to try to – work on running the football, in particular in the second half. And so I don't know. That'd be close. But I could see, you know, 51-7 type of game, so somewhere around there.
It'd be close. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Tommy.
Appreciate
you have a great
one. You too. All right. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Talk to our buddy Don Dubuque, host of Louisiana's Great Outdoors. They're talking about catch limits for two types of sharks. Should they be eliminated for recreational fishers? Fisher people. Then we'll talk to Mark Rosa, Manage Your Money with Mark. A lot coming up. Stay with us, WWL. We're playing Name the College Fight Song since LSU's playing Nicholls State this weekend. We may as well play theirs. Jeff Palermo, our guest, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. What do we know about the Colonels, Jeff?
Well, Nicholls has really had a very great they've had a great run of it with Tim Rebo as their head coach, who I think is entering his ninth season. They've won three conference championships during that time, including last season. They get a lot of kids from the River Parishes area, from South Louisiana. Colin Guggenheim, who is a who's their leading rusher, a kid from John Curtis High School. Last week they went up to Louisiana Tech. The weather elements were not the greatest. Rain was falling, and they forced five turnovers against Louisiana Tech. Now, they didn't produce a ton of offense. You know, this is not going to be an offense that's really going to test LSU, in particular defensive secondary. Nicholls only completed 10 passes last week. But this is going to be a Nicholls team that's going to be well-coached, and it's just hard to believe. I don't know. What it's Nicholls is an hour 20, hour 25 minutes away from the LSU campus, and this is the first time these two schools have ever played in football. So some history will certainly be made in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night.
51.5-point favorite is LSU. You think they cover?
Could be close to that. I wouldn't be surprised if not, just because you know, LSU is going to try to work on running the football, in particular in the second half. And so I don't know. That'd be close. But I could see, you know, 51-7 type of game, so somewhere around there.
It'd be close. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Tommy.
Appreciate
you have a great
time.
One.
You too. All right. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Talk to our buddy Don Dubuque, host of Louisiana's Great Outdoors. They're talking about catch limits for two types of sharks. Should they be eliminated for recreational fishers? Fisher people. Then we'll talk to Mark Rosa, Manage Your Money with Mark. A lot coming up. Stay with us, WWL.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.